Yo, what's up, guys? Today is Saturday, the 29th of November, 2008, and we are here with Wayne Houchin. Wayne, can you hear me?
I can. What's going on?
You are in Sacramento. Tell the people out there a little bit about what you did today and what is going on in Sacramento.
So it was awesome. We were at Grand Illusions Magic Shop in Sacramento, just outside of Sacramento, actually, and we did a whole release party for Thread. A ton of people showed up. We had cake. I performed Thread, answered a bunch of questions. I actually stuck around, and we did a lot more magic and just generally hung out. Everyone in this area, there's a really good magic following in Sacramento and kind of the surrounding areas, out into the Bay Area and everything. And it's just a great group of guys that shows up, and most of them, a handful of them, are ridiculously talented. So it's just real cool. We had a great time and hung out and talked about Thread, had a couple of contests and ate some cake, and it was a good day. So
glorious. And just to give people, before we get into actually constructive conversation tonight, I'm going to tell people a little bit about what the cake was like tonight at the event that I hear rumors of from Dana.
The cake was awesome. We had the DVD cover, basically the picture of me pulling the thread out of my eye. That was actually printed onto the cake. It was all edible, of course. It was awesome. And what they did is they took an actual piece of dental floss and put it into where the thread was coming out of on the picture. And so Dana and I reached in and pulled the thread actually physically out of the picture and then used that piece of dental floss to slice the cake. It was pretty much the most awesome thing that's happened in a long time.
That's perfect. And then you made all the people there eat weird foods and stuff, I hear rumors of.
Oh, we did a contest. We gave away a couple copies of Thread, and we did a contest where I basically mixed up a concoction from my box O' Doom. And it was just a nasty drink. And we had a drinking contest to see who could finish it, and it had mustard and butternut squash soup and tomato paste applesauce and mustard.
Which is basically your typical breakfast, massive. Wayne's typical breakfast.
Right.
I remember one time about a year and a half ago, I wake up, Wayne's at my house, and my house smells distinctively of dog vomit and urine. And I come downstairs, and it's Wayne cooking breakfast in air quotes. And he tried to get me to try it, but I did not try it. I was strong. So anyways.
You know what it was? This is a strange man, and I don't understand, because JB claims to be from South Carolina. I was making biscuits and gravy, which is, of course, as everyone knows, the greatest breakfast known to man. And JB had never had gravy before. He lives in South Carolina, right in the heart of fried food country, and he's never had gravy.
Well, this wasn't gravy. So this was gravy mixed with, projectile dog vomit.
It was regular gravy.
Projectile dog vomit. Potato, potato. I agree to disagree.
I agree to disagree. We have a fundamental difference in opinion. Let's have a war.
Exactly. We'll settle this later with a thumb war at a date to be determined. Okay. So let's get into the questions. We've got a slew of questions. We're not short on them. I think we've got, at the moment, around 13 pages of questions. Some people asked four questions, two questions, one questions. We didn't really have a limit, so I think we've got over 300 questions submitted at the moment, and we'll get to them now. These are in no particular order. I'm just going to go through and pick whatever questions catch my eye, and we'll go through these now. The first question is the first question posted in response to this thread, which is a good way to start this off. And the question is, what inspired you to create Thread? What was the inspiration?
Oh, that's interesting. It's actually a funny story, and it's something I talk about on the DVD. I would love to tell you that, I had this great inspiration and, something happened. I read something amazing and it made me think of this effect. And no, the truth is I like to freak my girlfriend out. She's now my wife, Fran, but basically when I was in high school, I used to do this thing where I would reach up and just push my eye, and she freaked out. She hated it when I did that, and that was kind of what gave me the idea originally for this effect. So as much as I'd like to sit here and tell you it was something brilliant, the truth is I just was looking for ways to gross out my girlfriend.
And mixed with a moment of brilliance.
I guess.
Ignition.
Some may say.
Second question is from ELYK in Fort Worth, Texas. And this is a question I've seen posted around the forums a lot, and a good question for us to answer before the release Monday. Have you ever experienced any permanent damage from Thread? Which is a good question, because you can talk about the two versions of Thread. What are the two versions in the DVD, and what's the difference between them?
Right, that's a great question. There are two versions, like you said, on the DVD. The versions I've titled the Geek Method, which is the method that I use, and then also the Slight Method. Now, I'll tell you the differences. The Geek Method is the method that I've been using for 9 years. It's the method that you see on the videos. It's the method that you see in the pictures. Now, the Slight Method looks almost identical to the Geek Method, except the Slight Method is based entirely in sleight of hand. So with the Slight Method, there's no risk of being uncomfortable. There's no risk of anything like that. Now, with the Geek Method, people ask me, is it safe? And the honest answer is yes. And I can say, yes, it's safe, because I've been doing it for 9 years. I've been using it exclusively as my opener in my actual stand-up performances, in addition to doing it walk around and street magic and that kind of thing. And I have not had one problem with it ever. I have perfect vision. I've never had any kind of infection in my eye. I haven't even had pink eye since I started doing this 9 years ago. So I can say with 100% confidence, yes, Thread is completely safe. But at the same time, you're doing something with your eye. So there's always going to be that risk. There's always going to be a risk of something because you're doing something with your eye. But to put it into perspective, you could damage someone with a deck of cards. I know, because I've done it. I actually thrown a card so hard that I accidentally split someone's skin. So if used and performed like I talk about on the DVD, if you follow the directions and use the method that I've developed, chances are you're not going to have any problems. Is it uncomfortable at first? Yes. That's one of the things, the other discussions I've seen on the forums, is that the first couple times you do it, it is going to be uncomfortable, certainly. But that, to me, goes along like wearing contact lenses. I don't personally wear contact lenses, but I do have friends and family who wear them, and they've told me that it's kind of a similar feeling the first couple times that they had to wear contacts. It was a really strange sensation. You had to get used to it. And I think the same thing is true with Thread. So yes, you know, it is safe, because I've used it extensively and I've had zero problems. But at the same time, that potential for risk is going to be there, and it is something that you need to treat very carefully and take seriously.
Let's see, I'm looking for another question here. This is actually a good one, because it's talking about reactions of Thread. It's a different type of effect. It's kind of a bizarre magic piece. Magic Pro S is asking, this is post number 26, what's the strangest reaction you've ever got from someone when performing Thread? Any particular stories?
No, I don't really have any specific stories that stand out, and that's a good thing, and I'll tell you why it's a good thing. Thread is one of those effects that consistently gets amazing reactions. The reactions that you see in the trailer, the reactions that you see on the DVD, those are the reactions that I get all the time, every time performing Thread, and that I have gotten since I've been doing it when I was in high school. It's one of those effects. It's an interesting type of an effect, because it doesn't seem magical or supernatural. And I've always been kind of drawn to geek magic for that reason, because it seems like I might actually be doing it. You know, when you show someone a card trick, even if it's an amazing card trick, they know it's a trick. When someone sees you do Thread, a lot of people, even magicians out there who are listening to this, may assume that I'm really doing it, that I'm really passing a piece of Thread through my mouth, up through my eye cavity. And I think it's because a couple years ago, they had that show, the Guinness Book of World Records. You remember that?
Yes, and someone actually did something like that.
Right. The guy who took he would take like a mouthful of milk, and he would squirt it through his tear duct. It was the most awesome thing I've ever seen on television. It was amazing. But it is possible to pass something from your mouth up through your tear duct. And so when people see this, it seems like it's based in reality, and it seems less like they're watching a magic trick and more like they're watching an amazing, incredible feat. And that's one of the things that's always drawn me to these type of stunts and these types of effects.
Here's a question I can answer, because it's 2 seconds. He's saying, Sinful appears to be one of your biggest signature effects that seem to do really well. Do you think Chris Angel will show any interest in Thread as he did with Sinful? And I think the answer would be yes, because he did Thread on the show.
That's true. a lot of people don't know this, but but Chris called me specifically for Thread. He didn't know about the quarter through soda can at first. That is something that he saw when I went out to talk about doing Thread. And another thing that might surprise some people is Chris originally called me about doing a Mastermind DVD for Thread. He wanted that to be the DVD that we would release together and teach how to do. And at that point in time, that was back in 2006, I wasn't ready to release Thread yet. It wasn't something I wanted to put out. So I suggested the quarter through soda can instead. And I guess, as they say, the rest is history.
The rest is history. Let's see here. What else we got? Let's see. I'm reading through the rest here. There's people. Let's see. What's the single greatest investment in magic you have made? Asks JRobarts05.
Wow. That's a good question. The single greatest investment. There's a lot. And they're almost all books, but I think I have kind of a strange answer. I think the single greatest investment, honestly, has probably been the purchase of a levitation. When I was in high school, I got a loan and I bought an actual levitation where you know, it was a complete hydraulic lift. The girl's laying down in front of you and she floats up and you put the hoop around her and then she floats back down. And I performed it for, three or four different shows and then decided to sell it on eBay. Because I just didn't fit my style. I had a whole choreographed routine where I would dance around with my girlfriend and I floated her, and it actually played beautifully, but I didn't feel comfortable not talking to the audience. It was weird for me to do something choreographed to music, and I was still trying to find my style at that point.
Was the real reason because the harnesses started to irritate Dana's body when you're making him float?
No, it was never Dana. But, you know, interesting enough, I have a picture from me doing it at my senior talent show in high school. And Fran, who's now my wife, is laying on the table, and I've got two assistants that have lifted her up onto the table, and one of those is Dana. And that's from, gosh, 9 years ago, eight or 9 years ago. I should find that picture. That's really funny. But, no, I say that's the best investment I got because I ended up selling that levitation to a very well-known and respected magician named David Alexander, who's a brilliant guy. He studied under Fraxton, and he's a pickpocket magician. Anyway, he drove up from L.A. He was living in L.A. at the time and bought the levitation. And when he was in town, he had a chance to see me perform and see some videos of my performances. And this was long before anyone in the magic community knew who I was. But David had some connections, and he sent some of my videotapes to Banachek, and that led to my friendship with Banachek, which led to all kinds of interesting things. So it was kind of, you know, I was at that time I was creating magic and I was performing, but it was really this kind of random purchase of a levitation that seemed to lead to so many doors being opened for me and meeting so many new and influential people.
Let's see here. I'm still going through. We are about three-fourths of the way through this thread now. I'm just trying to get through as many questions as we possibly can. This is an interesting one by D-A-U-G-A-V-A, Dagava, whatever. He's asking, do you use Thread as a magic trick, or do you find it more interesting to present it like something cool you can do with your body, like a geek thing, or do you present it as a miracle, as magic?
Definitely the geek thing. Definitely. And anyone who's seen my actual performance, you'll know, and that's probably going to be very few of you who are out there. I know there's a handful who've driven in for it, but my character when I perform is someone who, I'm very honest with the audience. I tell the audience that I know about sleight of hand, and that's how I accomplish what I do. I tell the audience that I know a lot about psychology and cons and scams, and that I use these things to create artistic, interesting presentations. So I don't present myself as someone who can do real magic. I don't want, you know, that's not about what I do. Some people can do that well, and I can't. I found that my character is very effective, and I'm able to create really interesting, strong presentations when I'm completely upfront and honest about what it is that I'm doing. And so when I present it, almost honest and upfront about what it is I'm doing. But I find that for me, the presentation, that it's a geek stunt, that it's something that I accidentally stumbled into, and is something that's more effective for me. And you'll see that on the DVD. One of the great things about the performance section of the DVD is there's not just the street performances. There are those, which is great. You know, you get to see the amazing reaction and everything. But after that, it's followed up by my full 10-minute opening act from my show, Sideshow, which I is a theater show that I put on in Chico about 6 months ago or so. But it's my whole complete 10-minute opening act that I use Thread with. And so you get to see the entire presentation on stage in front of a live audience, and you can see exactly how I use it to kind of place the audience where I want them to be in terms of what it is they think they know about my character for the rest of the performance. So good question. Very good question.
This is a kind of a parallel question by Zach Monkey, who is awesome. He posts, he's talking similarly. You just mentioned about doing this as a cool ability you have, being Thread, or as a trick. His question, what he's writing, is when you perform magic, do you aim to entertain or to impress? And I kind of understand what he's going mm-hmm. for.
That's a really interesting question. I think for me, it's entertainment. For me, that's key. I've talked a little bit about before that magic for me, I don't like to sit around in session with other magicians. I can to a certain extent, but for me, magic is a very personal thing, and sitting around with a bunch of other magicians showing moves and stuff is I've heard the term used before. It's magical masturbation. It doesn't mean anything. For me, magic is not magic unless it involves the audience. And for me, magic is all about that relationship that I develop with an audience in a certain period of time. And so for me, it's all about entertainment. And it can go either way. So, good question. But that's I think, it was an important kind of revelation or epiphany that I had in my character, in my performance, when I kind of realized that. And I realized that relationship that forms throughout a performance is key, and that I need to do everything within my power to take control of that relationship and make it go to where I want it to go and foster it and help it grow, as opposed to just standing in one place doing these unconnected tricks that don't flow into each other and just trying to show people these tricks.
I agree.
Which is how my act used to be.
I think the focus of any magician performing is to entertain. You're a performer, you're entertaining. If you're doing,
right.
If you're strictly into cardistry, that's fine. That's a different thing. Then you are looking to kind of entertain and impress at the same time.
Well, cardistry is, that's a complete visual art. That's a completely
it's a separate thing.
Different thing in and of itself, right?
Right. Yeah. That is more entertaining by way of impressing and creating this kind of visual art.
Right.
Magic is, it's an entertainment. You know, it's entertainment. It's about fooling someone. It's about tricking someone. But that's not what's in the driver's seat. What's the most important is actually entertaining someone, giving them an experience that they're going to remember.
Creating an experience and telling a story and giving the magic meaning. And, anyone can stand up. See, here's, people talk about, magicians like to say all the time, they like to say, well, magic is art and it should be respected. But I don't think a lot of magicians really understand why.
Or treated as such.
Because because the bottom line is that doing a trick is not art. It's not art. Anyone can learn how to do a trick. I've taught my mom how to do a trick, and I've watched her fool people with it. Performing a trick does not make you a magician, and it doesn't make you an artist. The art in magic comes in when you take the trick and use it to create a unique experience. Use it to your advantage to create something new and interesting in terms of it being a new visual moment, or creating an amazing intellectual experience for an audience. Just like anyone can learn to draw. You can get a sketchbook and learn to sketch, but that doesn't make you an artist. So for me, like I said, it's all about creating that experience and using these tricks, using these unconnected pieces of sleight of hand and psychology and connecting them in a unique way to really create an amazing experience for the audience.
This is a question on a completely different note, but I thought it was a really good question and something that you've offered a little bit of insight on publicly before, but it'd be a good thing to address now. The question is from Lucas CG. I don't know where he is, but he asks, I'm just going to read the whole question. He said, you've got the ability to sit down and work with someone who's arguably one of the most inventive and brilliant magicians of all time, Paul Harris. What was that like working with someone I can only assume you looked up to and appreciated his work? You seem to perform some of his material, the Invisible Palm, Cross Twist, having been featured in your videos. So what was it like meeting him, and how has this affected your inventive or creation process?
Great question. Meeting Paul was I don't want to say a dream come true, but it was a pivotal moment for me because Paul was an idol of mine. Paul Harris and his books were really the first introduction I had to true close-up magic. I kind of started backwards from a lot of magicians. Instead of starting with cards and close-up magic, I really started with stand-up. My first couple performances were in front of audiences, and I did rope routines, and I had silk routines when I first started, and so I grew up learning parlor magic and stage magic, and the first time I was introduced to close-up magic was Joel Paschal, a very good friend of mine. I met with him at a coffee shop randomly. He'd seen some advertisements for a local show I was doing and called me up and said, we need to get together. And so I met him, and he floored me. He fooled me in a way that I can't even describe the experience. He performed a lot of Paul's material, and it was the first time I'd ever been introduced to Paul Harris's material. It changed my life. Joel loaned me The Art of Astonishment. I was 16 years old at the time, and like I said, it was my first introduction to actual close-up magic. So when I had the chance to meet Paul, he actually came in and lived with me for 4 months, and it was just incredible. I mean, he's a brilliant. He's one of those guys who's more brilliant than anybody realizes. You know, he sits down and he'll have 15 brilliant ideas in one single day. He just seems to spew amazing ideas. So it was a dream come true. Now, how it impacted my kind of creative process, I don't know. I don't know that it did, because I'm so different than Paul. I kind of look at Paul Harris and Daniel Garcia in the same light. They both seem to have a lot of brilliant ideas, and I'm more of a refiner. I'll have a handful of ideas that I'll work on for years before moving on to something else. So it was just an incredible experience to be around Paul and to meet him and get to hear his stories. And you know, he's just a brilliant guy.
Let's see, we have one more question I thought we'd take. It's one of the last questions that's in this thread. I thought it was very appropriate. He says, why won't you admit that it was a bug that flew into Danny Garcia's eye?
Why won't I admit? Well, frankly, because I've looked at the video, there is no bug. I was sitting right there, and I just think Danny's a liar, honestly.
I'm just going to put that
out there. He's just a liar. I think he was just looking for attention, actually.
That's possible. Or he just really wanted to mess up that take. It's possible. Okay, so we got through a lot of questions tonight. We are now at the end of this thread that we kind of have gone through and picked and choosed questions from. For everyone out there listening, the thread release on Theory 11 is Monday at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We might do something else with Wayne on Monday night for people at the time of release. But other than that, we are also having a release window of White Centurions and Brown Winds, just 100 decks, so this should last a few seconds at the same time as the thread release is kind of a special event that's unannounced anywhere else on the site. But this is, again, Monday night at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and I think that's it. Wayne, is there anything else that you wanted to add?
Yeah, I just want to thank everyone for writing in all the questions. It's amazing to see all those questions come in, and if I didn't answer a question that you had, feel free to email me, please, wayne@waynehouchin.com. I've got a lot of emails in my inbox. I was at 500 emails a couple days ago, but I've got it down to 350. But I love hearing from you guys. So if there is a question that you'd like me to answer, please don't hesitate at all to shoot me an email. It may take me a bit to get to it, but I will get to it.
Sometime between now and next year, Wayne will definitely...
Right, sometime within the next year, I will definitely, absolutely, probably, maybe see it. And I'm definitely looking forward. Monday night's going to be fun. So, yeah, we'll definitely figure out something else to do Monday night. But
so, yeah,
it's going to be a good time.
stay tuned to the site over the next day or two. We'll figure out, we're going to do something on Monday night for the release, whether that is a live video thing or another podcast or something at the time of release. And again, one person whose question is asked in this podcast is going to be getting a spool of thread signed by Wayne Houchin. It might have magical powers. It might not.
I'm pretty sure it does have magical powers.
It does. Actually. Okay. I'm going to put it out there. It does have magical powers. We're going to guarantee it. and if it doesn't, then you're screwed. That's all we got. We got to upload this video, and Wayne's got to go eat dinner and get out of his car. So that's all we have for today. So thank you guys for listening. And until next time, this has been Theory 11 Roundtable for the 29th of November, 2008. Peace.